Here we are, we're back to the Kachim Chabur. According to my numbering on the Mayer Makomos, it's shir number 26. We've done more than that, but somehow we've chunked them. I don't know what the deal is.
Just 2 pages?
Just 2 pages. Small one. 1 page. That's it. So, I want to start with a great question that was asked by Rav Hirschsprung. You know Rav Hirschsprung? He was a Rav in Montreal, and he was known as the pin test rabbi. You put a pin in the Gemara, he could tell you what word it's on. And he was a major Eloi. He's one of the Haskamas in Rav Shechter's first Sefer, was Rav Hirschsprung. And he asks a great question. Listen to this question. Very Harif. Says that in the Sifrei Kabbalah, that in the future, after Bias HaMashiach, the Halacha is going to follow who? Beishamai, right? Not Beis Hillel. Okay? And I found there's a Sefer, essay written by Rav Shlomo Zevin, where he quotes you all the Mayer Makomos that hint to that concept. In the future, the halacha is going to be like Beit Shammai and not like Beis Hillel. So based on that, says Rav Hirschsprung, he asked a great question. If you turn to the Gemara in Beitza, the Gemara in Beitza, Hey Amid Beis. So we look at the Mayer Makomos. Beis Amid Aleph. Beitza Shinolda B'yamtev. Beit Shammai says Teachel. Beis Hillel says Lo Teachel. Can't have it. Dalad on a base. Itmar, Shnei Yom Tovim Shal Rosh Hashanah, Rav and Shmuel Davar Taveil, Nolda Bezeh, Asur Bezeh. Okay, that's the famous by Shnei Yom Tovim Shal Rosh Hashanah, because Yom Arichta, everyone agrees by the Yom Arichta, it's going to be Muktzah from one to the other. Hey, Amid Aleph, Amir Rabba, Mitakonos Rabbi Yochanan and Zakai Ve'elach Beitzas Muteras. From the Takon Rabbi Yochanan and Zakai onward, a Beitzah is going to be Mutter. The Tanan Mishachar of Beitzah Migdash, Hitkin Rabbi Yochanan and Zakai, Shu Mekavlin Eidus HaChodesh Koleyam. And Hayam Beis, Rav Ada, Rav Shalman Tarveo, Mebei Kluchis Amri, Af Mitakanas Rav Yochanan Zakar Elach, Beitza Asura. My time, why should the Beitza be Asura? Because Mehera Yabane Beis Amigdash. It could be the Beis Amigdash is going to be built right away. V'yomru Ishtakin Miloch Lena Beitzam Tosheni, Hashtan Aminach. So we forgot the Lacha that you weren't supposed to eat, the Beitza Yom Tosheni. And so now let's also... Let's eat the Beitzah. They're going to forget the distinction of Rosh Hashanah versus Yom Tovim. Shtei Kedusha versus Kedusha Achas. They're going to forget that, okay? That's the Gemara. So based on the bottom line of this Gemara, the Hanacha of the Gemara, is basically in the future, Alpidin, a Beitzah Shenolda B'Yom Tovim Shal Rosh Hashanah is going to be Aser, not just that day itself, but also Yom Tov Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah. So wait a second. Shitas Beit Shammai asks the great question of Hirschsprung. Shitas Beit Shammai is a Beitza Shenolda B'yomtif Muteres Ba'oso Hayom. According to Shitas Beit Shammai, a Beitza Shenolda B'yomtif is Mutter on that very day. That's Shitas Beit Shammai. That it's already in existence, just in the clouds. It's a whole Arichas on Beit Shammai. So if that's the case, oh, what a great question. Kol Shekain, Beitza Shenolda B'yomtif Rishon Shel Rosh Hashanah, Tei Muteres B'Tashrei Shel Rosh Hashanah. That's what Hirschsprung asks. In the future, we're saying it's going to be Meheri Yabanei Beis Hamikdash, and you're going to forget the distinction between 2 days Yomtif and Rosh Hashanah, so, and it's Aser. No, in the future, it's not going to be Aser, even when they get rid of the Suffolk Yomtif and Vaday and all that, because Halacha is going to follow Beit Shammai in the future, and Halacha like Beit Shammai is that a Beitza is Muteres. So it's going to be Mutter. So what does it mean, Meheri Yabanei HaMikdash? In the future, they're going to rebuild the base of Mikdash, and then it's going to be, and then you're going to have a problem, because it's really Aser. It's totally Mutter when Meheri Yabanei base of Mikdash, because Halacha follows Beit Shammai. So that's a strong question. I think it's a great question. We always assume, we're always taught that as kids, Beit Shammai, in the future, Halacha is going to follow Beit Shammai. Lechora, this would seem to go against that. Meheri Yabanei base of Mikdash. Okay, that's the kasha. You understand? You get the kasha? That's the kasha. That's the question. Very good. So I heard an answer. I heard a couple answers. One answer I'm going to give you, I heard from one of the YU Rosh Yeshivas. His name is Rav David Horowitz. Okay, he's not as well known from the YU Rosh Yeshivas, but he's a very big Talmud Chacham. And he thought the following should be the answer. So it's a Mishnah and Meiser Sheni. Perakei Halacha Beis. Mishnah Beis. Right, like the Yerushalmi does the whole thing. Kerem Ravai, Ola Li Yerushalayim, Mahalach Yom Echad L'chol Tzad. V'tenai Hayah HaDavar, She'ema Sai She'yirtzu, Yachzar hadavar lekamos shahaya. Rab Yossi says, Mishacharav beis hamikdash, haya hatanai hazeh, v'tanai haya emasai shibana beis hamikdash, yachzar hadavar lekamos shahaya. Anyone know what's going on in that Mishnah? What's going on in that Mishnah?
Well, Karam Abai is a whole Indian, you know.
Okay.
I just looked at that.
It rings a bell.
What?
It rings a bell.
So let's get do this the right way.
No, I just looked at that, but I looked quickly. About a week ago.
Mishnayis. Zerayim.
That's helpful.
Any what pair is it?
All right. Hey. For sure they is.
Okay. Okay. Karam Ravai has a din of Maiser Shein. You have to bring the pears to Yerushalayim to eat it, like everything else. Okay. Karam Ravai haya oli Yerushalayim ahalach yom echad. Anything within a day's worth, you got to take, right. And all tzivus Yerushalayim, you have to take those pears to Yerushalayim, so that the bartender's lashon kedei la'ater shuke Yerushalayim b'peiros. The ones within a mile radius, a ma'al yom echad radius, you would have to bring those to Yerushalayim, so that you'd have a lot of fruits there, so it would look beautiful when people would come up there. Mitoch shiocho kol natar vay shalom. Okay, fine. So miyachir echlo ve'izi hi tchum. What's the tchum? So eilat mina darom. Fine. Mishirabu a peiros. When they're becoming so many peiros, itkin she nifta samal kachoma. You could be pulled already when you're close to the wall. Utenai haya bedavar, and they built that law on condition, meaning it shouldn't be forever. She'em asai she'irtu that it should whenever they want it could stay in place. That tenai that you know what. It was getting too much, but what does it mean tonight? If the amount of fruits was lessening, they would lift that rule that no fruit passed the wall law. Right. Yachzar davar l'chamos shahaya. Rav Yossi says, Mishachar beis hamikdash haya tanai hazeh. That tanai was established once the beis hamikdash. It was because of the destruction of beis hamikdash, meaning not because the amount or quantity of fruits. That had nothing to do with it. Rather, it was because... Because it was the quantity of fruits, but when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Haisi Yerushalayim v'yada oivim, they didn't want to empower the enemies of bringing them all these fruits. Oh. You understand? That's why they didn't want them coming in there. V'lo, they didn't want to empower them. Right. So good. Exactly the opposite. Okay? Fine. So that's the Mishnah in Maaser Sheni. So the Yerushalmi over there says, Amar Rav Acha, Zosomeris. Shebeis HaMikdash asid lehibanos kodem lemalchus beis David. From here you see that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt before the Malchus beis David. Why? Where do you see that? Okay, that the Beis HaMikdash will be built before there's actually a monarchy, a real monarchy back in Yerushalayim. Why do you see that here? Because that when it said when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, It's going to go back to the way it was. How does that show you this Yerushalmi? So let's think that through.
Is that part of the like Mashiach, that there'll be a new king?
Three things have to happen. The Amalek wiped away, new king, and the Beis HaMikdash. So what he's saying is you see that the Beis HaMikdash will already happen before there is a king. Why? Because the reason they repealed this law of the fruit, according to the way we understood the Yerushalmi and the way we saw Rabbi Yossi, they repealed the law of the fruit, meaning they took it back, is because they didn't want to empower the people who took over Yerushalayim. So you see, once the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, it said it's already, it's going to go back to the way it was. Meaning, even though the government is still there, even though the bad guys are still there, so to speak, it means we're powerful enough, we don't have to worry about them taking our fruits. What you see from there, the Yerushalmi infers, is that you see from there that the building of the Beis HaMikdash will happen before the restructuring of the government of Malchus over there. Okay, that's the inference of the Yerushalmi. Okay, so based on the Yerushalmi, I think you could be doche, says Rav David Horowitz. Said Rav David Horowitz, you could be doche the raya the question of Rav Hirschsprung. Why? Because even according to the Mekubalim who say that the halacha is like Beit Shammai and not like Beit Hillel, right? That's tully in the zman of Bias HaMashiach. Not in the zman Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Mehera Yabane HaMikdash is a factor that could happen before Bias HaMashiach. The halacha of the Chazar, halacha going like Beis Shammai is talking about in the times when the Beis HaMikdash is coming. When HaMelech HaMashiach Hatzid L'Amav L'Achzer Malchus Beis David Yoshena, as the Rambam says, look at the Rambam. HaMelech HaMashiach Asid L'Amud U'L'Achzer Malchus David L'Yoshena L'Mem Shalah HaRishona. That's the time when everything's going to start flipping around. That's the time. So therefore you could say, based on that, Beis HaMikdash, he says, Lashon HaRambam. So you can't have a Metzias of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, that's, according to that, I'm not sure.
Do people use this as a proof for
what?
Building the Beis HaMikdash on their own?
Oh, yeah, this is quoted all the time. Could it be disorder? Yeah. For sure. It's all part of the whole, that's the sheer, of course. Kaimelon, Shmelech HaMashiach, hold on a second, just look at the Rambam again. Hayas v'kaimelon, Melech HaMashiach, Hasi Lama L'Achsam Achos Beis Dovah. Totally just. Oh, I think the Rambam's saying it more. Rambam's saying it's not possible. Rambam is not accepting the possibility of a Beis HaMikdash without the Mashiach first. So according to the way the Rambam's paskening, it's never possible to have that period that the Gemara in Beitza is talking about theoretically, right? That Meheri Yabane HaMikdash, since Meheri Yabane HaMikdash, how else do you send the Rambam? Rambam's saying can't be possible. The Metzias of Binyan Beis HaMikdash for Bizman Beis HaMashiach. Meila Beis Binyan Tkufa Shalasi Lava. Yeah. Okay. According to the Rambam, it's not possible to have a Binyan Beis HaMikdash beforehand. But it's clear from the Yerushalmi, according to Rav Acha's Shita, Binyan Beis HaMikdash can happen before the Malchus Beis David, and that's the idea over here. If the Binyan Beis HaMikdash is okay to have beforehand, then it's shayach to have the chumrah of nolda bezeh, asura bezeh. Even on a yontav rishon shel Rosh Hashanah, asura bezeh. And therefore, after when Mashiach comes, it's going to go back to being like Beis Shammai. Okay? So that's how it all works. It works within the Shitas Rav Acha in the Yerushalmi. According to the Rambam, I don't know how it works. Yeah, according to Shitas Rambam, I don't know how it works. But according to Rav Acha's Shita in the Yerushalmi, you have a nice answer. You have a nice deflection. You have a nice deflection over here.
No one knows how this stuff's going to work.
Okay, but at least clearly from that one line of Yerushalmi, you have a good teretz how you could answer the that kasha from Rav Hirschsprung. So I thought an interesting thing to point out was that if you look at one, you have one emperor. Okay, if you look, I put the information here. His name was Julianus. It's called Julian. Julian was Roman emperor from 355 to 363.
He was one of the white ones.
Right? He was a scholar. He seems like one of the liberal, more liberal and
he wanted away from
right, more peace loving and more accepting and he was as far as the he was in the crossover period. He was the last emperor of the Constantinian dynasty, right when Constantine was on his way out, and the empire's first Christian dynasty. It's when they went fully Christian was around his transition. He seems like a liberal, open-minded guy.
He wasn't Christian himself.
What? No. It's hard to pin out what he was. He definitely was the last non-Christian. He's considered the last non-Christian ruler of Rome. And the interesting about him is he wanted to bring the empire back to its ancient Roman values to save it from dissolution. By the way, the historians point out that... Wolpe points it out in his book on faith, his defense of faith against all these atheists. You know, talk about the cruelty of religion. The reason the Roman, one of the main reasons why the Roman kingdom empire dissolved was because once they evolved, or whatever you want to call it, into a Christian kingdom, the concepts and ideals of Christianity went against just killing whoever you needed, and it slowly, there was attrition, and there was a period of a crusade, you have all that, you have crusades, and you have everything, don't get me wrong, that continued throughout Christianity. Everything wasn't peaceful. But at its core, the value ate away at the tough and initial stages of the Roman Empire that needed to do what it needed to do. And there are many historians who claim that it's Christianity that was the demise of the Roman Empire because it couldn't sustain its value of just, you know, by fiat, keeping everyone at bay. So he wanted to revive the traditional Roman religious practices, even at the cost of Christianity. And
he started building Bias Schlesi.
Yes, that's what I want to bring him up. He was going back to a form of paganism. That's why he's called in English Julian the Apostate by the church. So he's really the crossover. It's the reaction to him that led to the Roman kingdom being fully Christian. It was the backlash. So what happened was in 363, we believe, was before Julian left Antioch. He launched a major campaign against Persia. So what happened was he ordered the temple to be rebuilt. Why? Anything besides this Christianity taking hold. He thought it would be the downfall of Rome, and therefore he was trying to strengthen all the other religions in the area. And one of his friends wrote this in a diary. Julian thought to rebuild at an extravagant expense the proud temple once at Jerusalem, and committed this task to Alypius of Antioch. Alypius set vigorously to work and was seconded by the governor of the province. When fearful balls of fire breaking out near the foundations continued their attack till the workmen, after repeated scorching, could approach no more, and he gave up the attempt. They weren't able to build it. Why? How does historians explain why they weren't able to build it, this Trey Beis HaMikdash? Why weren't they able to rebuild it themselves? So it's been ascribed to what's called the Galilee earthquake of 363. It's the Galilee earthquake of 363. And the Pashup shot is the Jews' ambivalence to the project. They weren't interested in his rebuilding right now of the Beis HaMikdash. And it's sabotage, probably an accidental fire. And at the time, the Christians saw it as divine intervention. And
what's the primary source you're reading here?
What?
What source are you reading?
I was reading from the quote from the diary.
Diary of
his friend that he wrote. Ammianus Marcellinus wrote that. The bottom is just Wikipedia, not a primary source by any means. And the rest we're just saying with the general assumption is some say it's an earthquake, some say it was a sabotage fire. The Jews weren't interested at the time. He couldn't galvanize all the Jews. They were, they just weren't the right group at the time. Okay, so why do I bring this out? Okay. So I bring this up for the following reason. He had an idea to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, right? He had an idea. If you trace who was around at that time, if you look at who was around, which Amoraim, you use that green book that has the time periods, it comes out that the main Amora at this time, 363, who was at the same time as Julian, and why the Gemara never mentions this? The Gemara doesn't mention this at all. You know that? The Gemara doesn't mention this. The third attempt to rebuild. Rav Acha.
Really?
Rav Acha is the one at the time. And we know from Rav Achan Yerushalmi Maseches Maaser Sheni, you see, his very line is a silent support of what was going on. Now, if you're a historian, you can make a whole theory why this had to be left out of the Gemara. Anything about Julian had to probably be left out of the Gemara. It makes sense.
Christians hated him.
Christian censors. He was their biggest enemy. He was the apostate king. So it had to be left out of the Gemara. How do we know this was going on at the time? I just suggested as a possibility. Rav Acha says this statement, assuming that, wait a second, Yibani Yachzar Adavar, that the possibility of Zosa Mer Beis HaMikdash can happen, yeah, even with the Shtrats, before the Malchus Beis David is there, even while he's there. And it fits perfectly, because Rav Acha was Yerushalmi, and he was at the time, the same time as Julian, who's left out. Here's the good, right? That's here. Good. Okay, good. Show it to Rabbi Mintz for me when you get a chance. He would like that one.
He was a Yerushalmi Amora.
He was a Yerushalmi.
But he was published in the Bavli.
He's a Yerushalmi. Line from Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi in Maaser Sheni.
Amar
Vach is also Meresh Beishman Ati Livnas called Malchus Beis David. Great. I thought that was great. Okay.
Censored the Gemara. They looked at the Gemara before it was.
Like there were things that were taken out of the fear of them. You know, the whole chunks in Sanhedrin were missing, and
that's
right. Yeah, there's a whole sefer they put out of stuff that was missing.
I looked at
the small dacha, you mean Mekarefes?
London and all. There's some really cool stuff.
Fascinating
there.
Stuff.
I gave a shear on that over there.
There's great stuff on that.
We killed Jesus, so I had everybody.
Right, Mintz is a whole shear. You can get it online.
I did.
Right, Mintz claims it can't be Jesus. He claims it can't be. The part that was taken out of the Gemara, they never meant to refer to him.
He wasn't
somebody else.
When I gave the shear,
can't
really.
Be. Oh, because the mother, it says in the Gemara, the mother was Mary Magdalena.
Right.
She's not his mother.
Girlfriend.
That was someone else in the story.
Prostitute.
Right. She was someone else. She's never claimed to have been his mother.
Prostitute.
So now, okay.
Wait, where did you get that shear?
Raminsa's shear.
His website.
I was on a treadmill when I heard it some years ago.
You get through a firewall.
6-7 years ago I heard it. So it must be
I gave this speech.
They could have loaded it since then.
I read it
right
out of the expurgated. Oh, there's some really cool stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I saw in the
safer? What?
You know what I mean? People call it that.
What is it?
It's a pagan custom ridiculing Christianity. Jesus was born December 25th. His mother became pregnant the previous April
1st. Oh.
It's not 9 months. It's 200.
Very good.
Even the December 25th date is—that's
that's gone the question. But the spoof was based on the mistaken date. Yeah. Okay. Good. So now, that's how I'm sure you do that. Okay. I want to take now a different course with all this, with Rav Shechter and the Satmarov. Okay. Both in the same sentence. All right. So now, Rav Shechter writes as follows. I didn't put it in the books. Rav Shechter safer. Rav Shechter wrote this in a journal, Or HaMizrach. It's a Mizrahi journal. He says, the article was called Gedrei HaMedina Be'eretz Yisrael Milchamoseha. He talked about the Shtachim, the status of the Shtachim. Those who know Rav Shechter, Rav Shechter is a very, very staunch advocate of the settlements and,
he's on the right.
Been very outspoken on that. Now,
Rav Soloveitchik wasn't.
What?
Rav Soloveitchik wasn't so much.
No?
That's my impression, no?
I don't know. I just know reading the line from Soloveitchik over and over that Americans should stay out of those... decisions. I remember that being his mantra. I didn't hear him talk about that. So now the Yerushalmi, so he writes about the Yerushalmi in Maseches Maaser Sheni. He says, wait a second, Rav Shechter asks, Gimel Mitzvahs Nitztavu Yisrael. What is Rav Shechter referring to? He's referring to the Gemara in Sanhedrin 20b, that the Gimel Mitzvahs Nitztavu Yisrael B'chnisosim La'aretz, Gemara in Sanhedrin says, La'mid Lahem Melech, La'achri Zaro Shalomalek, Velivnos lam besa bechira, and there the Gemara in Sanhedrin learns that from Mamish Psukim. Yelfinon Mikroy learns it from Psukim that you need these mitzvahs and dafka in that seder. Okay, so the question Rav Shechter asks in that essay is, how is it possible? Heich efsher shekaimu mitzvahs binya besa migdash kodem shekaimu mitzvahs lahamid lehem melech. Right? How is it possible? So he answers that. Like this. To establish a melech. What's the order again? The order is wipe out lahamid lamelech, wipe out a malik, and build a base of Midash. So lahamid lamelech doesn't necessarily mean hamadas melech base David. Hamadas Melech means Hakamas Malchus BeYisrael, and that could be, that for sure is before the Binyan Beis Hamikdash. Rav Shechter is saying is ultimately what the Rav Kukians all say, what the Merkaz Rav Yeshiva says, that there's a status of Malchus Beis Yisrael, even though it's not Malchus David, that the government in Israel, no matter who they are and what they're doing and how they practice their Judaism, they have a status of Malchus Yisrael. And Rav Shechter says what the Gemara is telling you, because how else does it fit with Rav Acha? You could say the Yerushalmi is arguing straight in the Gemara and Sanhedrin, but it has limudim from the Psukim, and Rav Acha doesn't tell you how to learn the Psukim any other way. And the Yerushalmi doesn't have to exclude those type of limudim. So Rav Acha, who says the Binyan Beis HaMikdash came before the Malchus Beis David, what does he do with this three structure? So Rav Shechter says you have to say this Hamadas Melech that's being referred to in Gemara Sanhedrin is talking about any Malchus, any governance that Jewish people have sovereignty in the land of Israel. That can happen, and then Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So that's the possibility, according to Rav Shechter, that would solve this problem.
What about Amalek?
So then you could always play around with that and say, what's Lahak Rezara Shel Malek? How do you wipe that out? What does that mean? Okay, then you get into everybody different opinions on that. Okay.
Your opinions on who Malek is today?
Yeah, famous Briskarov. Anybody who gets to stand up against the Jewish people is Briskarov, he says German. Anybody who wants to get up to stand against Jewish people has a din of a Malek. What I want to point out is that this Julian theory, the historical Julian theory, Rav Shechter's answer and Rav Acha making a hint to the Julian period won't work together. You understand that? Because Rav Shechter's being mechadish that Rav Acha could work with the Gemara and Sanhedrin, because you might not need the Malchus based of it, but you need at least Malchus Yisrael in place. The Julian theory within Rav Acha is that Rav Acha was making a statement that it's fine, this Julian is in charge. We could still have our Binyan Beis HaMikdash while Julian's in charge. So you understand the two paths over here of dealing with this question of our first prong don't necessarily jive. The different mahalchim. Okay, so the Sapna Rav.
Could you repeat the kasha of Hirschsprung?
Rav Hirschsprung's kasha was that the Gemara in Beitza says that we try to maintain Beitza Shasura Bezeh. Asura Berishon is going to be Asur, Beit HaShanol DeVeyantiv is Asur Berishon and Besheni, because people, when the Beit HaMikdash are built, are going to forget that Rosh Hashanah is still Asur, because it's Yom HaArichta. They're going to forget that part, that Rosh Hashanah stays Asur. It had nothing to do with Suffolk in the calendar. And therefore, we have to maintain that Isur. So Rav Hirschsprung said, but we know that Beit Shammai Paskins, even on Yontif, the Beit HaShanol DeVeyantiv's Mutter, and in the future, Halacha follows like Beit Shammai. Every kid in school learned that. So, you understand the stira? That's the stira. So the first answer we gave was the Julian Rav Acha, the Rav Acha answer. The Rav Acha is telling you that Binyan Beis HaMikdash could happen before there's a Malchus Beis David. Mm-hmm. And Rav Shechter's approach is saying that there could be a Malchus Yisrael, Binyan Beis HaMikdash, beforehand. Right, but not Stam, no Malchus, not chaos in the land, or somebody else in control of our land. Okay, the Satmar Rav says as follows. This is in Sefer Vayal Moshe. In his famous Maimer Shlosh Shvuos, you can see this on and Simon 55 through 61. There's great stuff there, by the way. There's really great stuff. If you can, for those who might feel uncomfortable with where it goes, if you could deal with that, that's part of our heritage. We accept all. It's not even a Shiloh. We accept everyone in our heritage. We don't question those things. But there's so many Maimer Makomos there. It's amazing stuff he does there. So he has he looks at the Yerushalmi, the same one we're looking at.
It's online.
What?
It's online.
It's online. And it's not on HebrewBooks.org. The separate websites have it quoted. They don't put it on HebrewBooks.org. So the
political.
Yeah. Why not? So now Rav Acha, he asks about Rav Acha, same kasha. The Rambam is Sosa Rav Acha, right? You understand? Because the Rav Acha says Binyan Beis HaMikdash could happen right away, while the Rambam clearly says you got to follow the order. So separate from Rav Shechter's answer that you could have another kingdom there, you could have a secular, non-Davidic government, as long as it's controlled by Jews, you have Mekayim Sanhedrin and Mekayim Rav Acha. So it's not going to fly for the Satmar Rav, so he's got to go a different route. So he says, Halo lahalacha kaimalanch echad misimani melech hamashiach hu shiabone beis hamikdash. So therefore, what you need is hofaas melech hamashiach lifnei binyan beis hamikdash. Okay, and therefore the Satmarav gives two answers to the question. Here's answer number one. Be'emes, the Melech HaMashiach is going to come before the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. However,
Mashiach ben...
What?
Yeah, there's two.
All right, Lechora, when they refer to this as Mashiach ben David.
No,
Lechora, though, that's going to happen before, he says, Terem sheyispashet Malchus Beis David. Malchus Beis David is only going to spread out to its fullest sweep after all of Yisrael is restored in Shuvah. So he has two, shlavim over here, two steps, two phases. There's going to be a return of Malchus Beis David and the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Then Malchus Beis David to its fullest extreme, spreading its reach, that's going to be when everyone does Shuvah. So now, based on that, everything fits nicely. Why? So, according to Rav Acha, what Rav Acha is saying is that you build the Beis HaMikdash before Malchus Beis David. What he means is before Malchus Beis David has full sweep. But Rav Acha never meant that you can't have some kernel there of Malchus Beis David before building the Beis HaMikdash. In a sense, the Satmarav is making a very hair-splitting split over here, a hair-splitting distinction, that according to Rav Acha, there are two phases in the Malchus Beis David. There's the Malchus Beis David that just takes over control again before the Beis HaMikdash, there's Beis HaMikdash, and then there's the Malchus Beis David as the way the Rambam understands, in its fullest beauty, in its fullest extent. That solves the problem of Rav Acha and the Rambam being so-so each other. It says Amar Bachas also Merish Beis Hamikdash Asi Libas Kodem Malchus Beis David. Before Malchus Beis David has its full power, Kodem Malchus Beis David, the Malchus in its fullest extent.
Actually, the Rambam actually says
Malchus Beis David Liyoshna. Oh, very good, very good, Yanki, very good, very good. Okay, so that answer also doesn't work with the Rav Acha hinting to the Julian the apostate idea. Because it's got to be Malchus Beis David. The second answer of the Satmarav, so works Rav Acha and the Yerushalmi based upon a Medrash Rabbah. What does the Medrash Rabbah says? Bimei Rav Yeshua ben Chananya, Gazra Malchus HaRasha, Shiabane Beis HaMikdash. Rav Yeshua ben Chananya was the Talmud of Yochanan ben Zakkai. He was one of the years right after the Churban Bayis Sheni, underneath the Roman rule of Eretz Yisrael. Okay? That's Rav Yeshua ben Chananya. So, the Kutim went, and like the Medrash points out, the Shomranim, wanted at the beginning of Bayis Sheni to mevatel the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So, Amrina la, Shalach va'amr lahon, O yeshton yatamachrea, O Yosfun Ale Chamesh Imon O Yivtzra Mana Chamesh Imon. The Kutim said to the Caesar, the Caesar, that he should send the Jews, the Yomran, say to them, either they should change the Beis HaMikdash from that place, what does it mean they should add 500 or take away 500?
Size.
Shalach Amelon, O Yeshton Yad Me'acha, O Yosfin Alechameshimon, I guess Amos. Okay, meaning extend the Amos or shorten it, and by making that decree, the Kutim said, Jews will stop. Because why? A beautiful thing about the Jews. The Kutim knew that the Jews would never build something Shalo Kehilchasa, Bimkomo, Ubitsuroso. They would never do it. As David writes in Divrei Hayamim, Hakol Bichsav Miyad Hashem, Alei Iskil Kol Meleches Atavnis. They do it exactly the way it's supposed to be.
Rishon and Bayis Sheni had different shiurim, didn't they?
The
Bayis Sheni was bigger.
Bias, no, but the shirim of where the shirim, where the hakpada on the shirim were, that was perfectly in place. Those were add-ons and pieces that were added, but the edifice, the infrastructure was exactly the same. So the Satmar Rav says that in the days of Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, the halacha was not yet paskind that you don't build a base of Migdash before Bias HaMashiach. That wasn't paskind that way yet. That wasn't the Gemara in Sanhedrin was going through it. Rav Acha disagreed. The Psak Halacha had not come out yet. It had not come down that you don't build the Beis HaMikdash before the Bias HaMashiach. Because according to the Medrash, they were looking at the possibility because the Kutim were trying to undermine it. So only after Chasimas HaTalmud, Nifsak HaHalacha Zu. Only after the signing of the Talmud, that's when Halacha was decided. And therefore, the Havamina, the days of Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, to build the Beis HaMikdash, that explains that Havamina. And that also explains the Havamina, the Yerushalmi of Rav Acha, to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, it can very well be, you could explain the Yerushalmi based on the second answer of the Satmar Rav, and also make it work with our Julian shtickle. That could work perfectly. This has nothing to do with Malchus Beis David being around. There was a time in history where the halacha was not paskind, one way or the other, says the Satmar Rav, and it could have been done without any Malchus there whatsoever.
So Hashem leaves the nature of the messianic redemption to the psak of the chacham.
100%. The 100%. The way the halacha comes out could define our, the rules of psak apply even. That's why the Rambam put it in the Mishnah Torah. It wasn't history. He was codifying. He was codifying the laws of geula. The Rebbe writes that all the time. The Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, writes it all the time. That the every halacha has a psak, even the halachas of Mashiach. That's why when I gave my shirk in the Rebbe be Mashiach, I gave it one Shavuos night. So I argued from a lot of the Mar Makomos, there's no problem with someone who died still to be the Mashiach. There's enough Mar Makomos. I just said from the Mar Makomos that the Rebbe seemed to turn to, there seemed to have been no way possible. Because Imamish Paskin like the Rambam down the line on everything to do with the Geula. And from the Rambam, it really sounds like the possibility has to come from someone who never lived before. It really seems that way explicitly. So from the Rebbe's own words, it wasn't possible. But if he would have Paskined all his life, like the other Shitas, it may have been more possible. So let's review what we said. We started with the Kasha of Rav Hirschsprung. I gave the first answer that Rav David Horowitz wanted to give based on the Yerushalmi with Rav Acha. We tied that into how the Rav Acha was really hinting to Julian, the emperor, the Caesar Julian, the apostate over there. That's what Rav Acha was giving you a little hint to over there. Possibility of rebuilding is going on, because nowhere else the Gemara talks about this rebuilding happening. And then we went with Rav Schechter trying to deal with the stira between the two. And he said that between the Sanhedrin, Chof Amabez, and the Yerushalmi. And he said that there's something called Malchus Yisrael and then Malchus Beis David. They're two separate entities. And then we saw the two answers of the Satmar Rav. The first answer, he said, was that there's split between Malchus Beis David itself. There's the initial stages of Malchus Beis David, and there's the later stages of the Malchus Beis David. And then after that, we saw the second answer of the Satmar Rav, where the Satmar Rav wanted to say that there's no... that Binyan Beis HaMikdash, the halacha wasn't paskined yet at that point. So there was the possibility. It was only until much after Chasimas HaTalmud that the Psak came out that there's no possibility of Binyan Beis HaMikdash without the Malchus Beis David being in its place. That Teretz would allow the Julian thing still to stand in its place, and that would be the shtickle.